my heart. Hopefully it has to you as well. And so I just want to introduce myself again. My name is Roland Bork. I am the pastor of Foundation Baptist Church. We started a local New Testament church in the year of 2020, and it has it started off slow. It started off slow, and we started in our home, quickly moved into a tap dancing studio where we were setting up and tearing down. It was pretty funny, yeah. And we started a bus route, and we're running buses in there and bringing in kids. And when you talk about trials and challenges, that has been the biggest trial and challenge, is just to kind of really get it going, getting it started, getting people involved, getting them faithful, seeing people saved and whatnot. But really, in the last year, we've seen tremendous growth in attendance. We've seen people saved. We've seen people get on board on what God's doing in Bixby, Oklahoma. And so we're very, very thankful for that there. In the last couple months, really, and really in the past week, we baptized 7, and since about October, I want to say, of last year, we baptized an amount of 12 people. And so we're extremely thankful for that. There's a portable baptistry that we use for some occasions, and then we'll baptize at the YMCA down the street. And I'm going to tell you, every time we have a baptism, there's a challenge there. You talk about challenges and trials. Every time, whether it's through the YMCA, we're trying to get the director to confirm that we can use the swimming pool, and I have to call multiple times. I have to go over there several times there. Whenever we're using the portable baptistry, it's leaking, something's wrong, there's no hot water. Last Thursday, we baptized a couple, a young couple there, and there was no hot water. There was no hot water, and so it was pretty cold for them, but they had the opportunity to get baptized on Sunday there where there was warm water, but they kind of procrastinated a little bit, so I guess that might have been chastisement from God there. Not sure. But it's really, really been a blessing. The Lord has opened up a very unique opportunity for us to minister to law enforcement. And I did reach out to the head chaplain of the Tulsa Police Department right when we got to Tulsa, and we talked, we had a meeting, and he's like, look, you're just not ready, you're just getting started, just wait a couple more months, and we'll see what happens. And he reached out to me, I prayed about it, and I had peace about it, and I am one of the chaplains for the Tulsa Police Department. There's about 12 of them, and we'll rotate. There's 3 divisions, probably about more like 15, and there's 3 divisions, and I'm on the south side division, and we'll rotate. I'm on call 1 week out of the month, and normally you'll get about 2 calls to go to crime scenes. Unexpected deaths is really what we're called out for, unexpected deaths there. And as you know, there's multiple different types of those throughout life, as we know of. And so one of the prayer requests that I do have is that you would pray that that God would protect my mind through those things there. Sometimes they can be very horrific scenes there, crime scenes and whatnot, depending on what kind of situation it is there. And so it's been fine now. I've been praying that the Lord would keep me safe, protect my mind. PTSD, I think, is a real thing there. And so, you know, I've been fine through all that. The last week I was on call, it was the worst call that I had, and I'm going to not share any really stories just because of the children and different things in here, but that, you know, God would protect my mind through it, and that I'm able to minister to the families and also to law enforcement at the same time. And I have done that. It's been a slow kind of a start for me. I've been on my own since January, and this last call that I received there, I was able to give my card to a police officer. And then on my card, on my business card, is my church, Foundation Baptist Church pastor there. And then you flip it over, it's my handyman card. So it's kind of a twofold deal there. Well, he's seen that I did handyman work, my business. And so he asked me if I could fix his fence. And so I fixed his fence for him. And he asked me, we had a conversation, what does he owe me, whatnot. And I said, let's just have lunch together. And so Lord willing, whenever I get back, I can line up, I can schedule that lunch with that police officer and witness to him and give him the gospel message there. And then also, so we're working with two different agencies, two different law enforcement agencies, with the police department, the Tulsa Police Department, and then also Bixby Police Department as well. I have a very good relationship with our chief of police in Bixby. That's where the church is at there, and we are able to minister to them. He did say that he would like for me to be a chaplain as well. I'm not sure how that would work out as far as me being a chaplain for two different agencies. It's fine on their end, but for my end, I'm not really sure yet. So you can pray in regards about that. So it's a really unique opportunity there for that. And then also our building, we're in the storefront right now. Just south of Tulsa, right when you get into Bixby, and it holds about 40 people in the 40 adults in the main auditorium. Then in the back, it's what we call a multi-purpose room, and we have it's our children's church, and then in the middle of it is our nursery. And for Easter Sunday, we had close to 70 people. And so what we had to do was we had Friend Day, and we promoted it, and Easter, and you know, people are more receptive coming on Easter than any day of the year, Christmas and Easter. And so we promoted it. It went well there, and we had to have the children in actually the parking lot. We had a little canopy, and in the back parking lot, we had the children there because we wouldn't have fit all the children in our small little multi-purpose room there. But the Lord is doing some great things there. And going back to what I was saying about our building situation there, I was talking to my wife about this a couple days ago, that if we're in the same position where we are in a year, where we are now, next year, and we continue to grow there, and we're in the same position, meaning that we have no building opportunity whatsoever. There's nothing really in concrete there. There are some prospective buildings and an opportunity to grow maybe into the storefront there. But if we're in the same position we are now in a year and we continue to grow, there's a possibility we might have to have two services. And so we're not sure exactly how that's going to work out there. The Lord might give us something. On the as the storefront, we're divided. We sit in the middle of two other different commercial buildings there, or businesses, I'm sorry. Well, there's one wall that's divided into a business, and they're going out of business, and I don't know how long he's going to be there. So that might be an opportunity where we can take down that wall and expand more into that storefront facility. There's a Presbyterian church down the street. They're not doing nothing at all with there, but again, you got to go to the presbytery. You can't just, you know, go through just that congregation there. It's kind of a big hassle, but just pray about that, the building opportunity. We're very limited on what we can do now, but the Lord is blessing. We have a good core group of people. Had a great service this morning. As I was told, there was a young man that called me yesterday and asked me if we baptize people. Yeah, we baptize people. We that's what we do. Well, apparently he Googled churches that baptize people, and our name came up. I don't know how. I mean, I don't do any kind of marketing that way, but our name came up. So praise the Lord for that there. And I talked to him a little bit over the phone about being the right candidate for baptism, and what does he think about baptism? What does he believe in, about baptism? And what I'm assuming is more of the charismatic confusion that's out there. And so he was there in service Sunday morning. He enjoyed it. There's a possibility he'll be there tonight there. And I told him I would like to meet up with him Thursday, probably after service. And so hopefully he'll be a candidate for baptism after that there. And so we are praying for him. Brandon is his name there. So everything's going well, and we're excited. We started off slow, and the Lord is blessing with families, people getting involved there. I had a couple texts this morning, just people just serving and just being willing to follow the Lord and to serve the Lord, be faithful in the Lord. So it's a blessing. It's a blessing to serve the Lord. It's not always easy, I guess you can say, there, but you just be faithful in it, and he's blessing. And so I'm thankful again for everything that the Lord has done. Looking forward to what he has in store for us. Looking forward to what he has in store for New Heights Baptist Church as well. My brother-in-law, my wife's younger brother, stayed back. He actually lives with us, and he is our song leader. Great help to us, a blessing And so he was able to be a part of the service this morning with the guest preacher I had. So it seemed like it turned out well. Nothing went wrong. I was wrong about the whole teachers and going away and the students, you know, jumping off the walls and whatnot there. So I was wrong about that. So I apologize, and I'm glad I was wrong. But that's kind of what I was thinking there. All right. Well, take your Bible tonight and turn to Matthew chapter number 5. Matthew chapter number 5. Matthew chapter number 5, and if you have any questions after the service, I'd love to answer them as best as I can about the church, and different things about the city of Tulsa. Don't know, I'm not a master at it there, but there's a lot going on. We live in a wicked world, but we're thankful that God's word will stand, and man, that's a blessing. Heaven and earth will pass away, but God's word, it'll stand for sure. And so very, very thankful for that there. All right, Matthew chapter number 5, verses number 1. And it says here in chapter number 5, verse number 1, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." And so I would like to preach this message to you here this evening, Lord willing, of the training of the 12, the training of the 12. And so let's pray one more time and ask the Lord to bless the service here tonight. Lord, we love you, and we're excited on what you're doing here at this church. It's encouraging. And then also all around the world as we think about Foundation Baptist Church tonight and other different ministries and churches that are supported through New Heights Baptist Church. I do pray that you would just continue to help this great group of people here tonight to be on fire for what you're doing here and all around the world, God. I do pray tonight that you would just help me as I preach your word here tonight, that you give me clarity of thought, that you would use me in a great way. Help us to pay attention to your word, God. Help us to make this important in our life, and that we would apply it to our life. And we just thank you for everything that you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen. And so in Christianity, there's an ongoing, nonstop process of training. Of training there. It's constant training and learning God's word there. And when we think we have it all figured out, we're wrong. We're dead wrong. And so there's always that learning process, that training. We can always learn something. We can always learn something. At the end of the day, we fall short. We do. We fall short of God's glory. And so we see the training of the 12 here, the beginning of the disciples learning under Jesus Christ. And we've all been through some kind of training in our life here, and, you know, new job. And hopefully when you're assigned to a trainer, a good trainee, that, you know, you have that good trainer and or maybe you developed a new skill or a new hobby. And man, you have to learn it. You have to train there's recently, in the month of December, I had the opportunity, me and my wife, we had the opportunity to go to Breckenridge, Colorado. Amazing, amazing place. There, anybody else been to Breckenridge, Colorado, a couple of you? Okay, all right, there. Amazing place, okay, an amazing place. We celebrated 10 years together in the month of December. There in every month, every year, to stay with her, she's charging me more. And so pray, that's another prayer request, that she's charging me more to stay with me there. And so, not really, but I'm just kidding, okay? All right. And so we go to Breckenridge, and we go to the ski resort. I've never been skiing in my life. She hasn't either. And so, you know, we're training, we're getting prepared, and there's this, you know, different things. We're trying to get in shape and going in the gym. Where, you know, skiing is kind of intense, okay? You know, you kind of, it takes skill. You're going high up elevation, and so you have to be hydrated in regards to that. There's a thing called elevation sickness, and I don't know, I have really no clue about it. So I'm learning this as I'm preparing to go to Breckenridge. I'm preparing to go skiing. Never been skiing in my life. Barely know how to rollerblade. So we're getting ready for this, and we get there, and then on top of the training we did at home, we were just kind of getting in shape, but we're not. There's training to actually go skiing. There's lessons. We have lessons there, and so we're learning this. And you know, there's been a couple of falls, but we got better over time. There, you know, you fall, you get up, and you do it again, just like riding a bike. You're training. You're learning, and so it's just similar to the Christian life, right? That you're learning. You're training, and you fall, you mess up. But you get up and you do it, you try it again, and you do better, right? You do better. You don't give in to sin, you see. You don't give in to the problems and the trials. You don't give up. You don't give up. And so during this training of the disciples, they messed up, as we see all throughout the Gospels specifically. They messed up, and especially, again, the early immature stages of their life of Christianity. And as they grew, they became mature Christians. They got better, you see. They got better. And that's what we should be striving to do as Christians, to do better. And we shouldn't make the same mistakes over and over and over again. Just like the Bible says in the book of Proverbs, like a dog returning to its vomit. There, we shouldn't. When a dog eats something, and what does that mean? It means when a dog returns back to its vomit. What that means is, if a dog eats something that makes it sick, it'll vomit it up, and then it'll go back and it'll eat the same thing that made it sick. There. And as Christians, as people, that can be our same concept in life. There, that the same thing that is tearing our lives apart, the same things that are messing us up, the same things that are distracting us, that's ruining our relationship with Jesus Christ, that's getting us far away from our Lord and Savior. There, we're doing it over and over again. And if we can get away from that, if we can push that aside and get over that, man, we can have a far better relationship with Him. Things would go a lot better in life if we can just get that away. We would feel a lot better there, right? And so we have to understand that. And so we're here today. Again, it's training. We're learning. We're learning. And these disciples, they didn't know really much at first. They weren't qualified, right? They weren't qualified, and maybe you feel that today. You know, I feel it often there. Hey, I'm not qualified for this. Everybody get in line, because none of us are really qualified, right? God uses the foolishness and the brokenness of people there. They do. He does. And so there's this great amount of training, and this is the starting point. This is great. This is the starting point of the local New Testament church, of an organized assembly there. And so we see here that Jesus starts to disciple them, to teach them here what he is about to make here, this great church. And so, first of all, he says this. He says in verses number 3, blessed. And he uses that word often here throughout the scripture. Blessed, blessed, blessed. It means to be happy, to have joy, to have contentment that cannot be shaken by poverty or famine or grief or persecution or war or any other trial or tragedy we face in life. That we will have joy because we follow God's word, because we know what our eternity holds. I know if I was to die today, I'm 100% sure I'd go to heaven. I know that I am sealed, right? I know I have eternal life there, and you do too. If you know Christ as your Savior, don't let anybody make you doubt that, or even yourself, right? Our biggest enemy is ourself. It's not the devil. It's not the world. It's ourself. And so we often forget that there. And so we have to make sure we understand that, and that blessed are those that are poor in spirit. And I'm going to get to that here in a second, but I want to just look at the word blessed, because it means to be joyful, to be content. Again, through all of what goes on in the world, man, it's a wicked world out there. It's a crazy, confusing world. I know I was at the our family vehicle the other day, and my wife homeschools our children there, and oftentimes they'll go to the library and they'll get biographies about certain books and different, you know, informative books. I know me and my son are reading a book about Drew Brees, the quarterback, the former quarterback of the New Orleans Saints there, and his biography. And man, it's a pretty good book there. It's clean. There's nothing, you know, nothing crazy in it. And so my daughter, which is 5 years old, she gets this little ABC book in the infant section there and puts it in the van. And so I think my wife actually ran down to Office Depot, and she was doing some errands. And so I grabbed this ABC book, and I was about to start reading it out loud to them until I seen the word equality. Now the word equality is not a bad word, but when you start seeing that stuff, because it's a red flag. And so I seen that, and it drew a red flag to me. Now, this is an infant book, like A, B, C, like A for apple, B for banana, one of those books that you just go through, and it's A through Z, you know, that kind of book there, and for like a 3 to 5 year old, okay? All right, everybody follow me so far? So I'm going through it now. I'm looking to see, you know, what do they mean? And T meant transgender. S was for something else. There, and it's just crazy. It's mind-boggling to me. And so we have to get in the Word. We have to be vocal. We have to proclaim the truth. Amen. It's wicked. It's a wicked world, and they get them. They try to get them early, to manipulate and to brainwash. And it's a wicked world out there. It is. It was unbelievable. Unbelievable what they're putting in public libraries, and just parents, you got to be careful. You got to be careful. You have to stand guard and protect your children. You do. It rests upon your shoulders, the children that God has given us there. But I'm saying all of that to say, look, even though what the world throws in our way there, and they try to force and pressure and manipulate and all that stuff, that we can have joy because of Jesus Christ. We can have that. We don't have to stand defeated. We're not defeated. We're not. We stand in victory. We stand in victory because God's word is here to stay. Jesus Christ is coming back there. He will rule and reign, and we'll stand victorious with him. And so we have to remember that we can't stand defeated. We can't. We're not. So don't let the world persuade that. Don't let the world influence that there. Right? I mean, most of you tomorrow morning are gonna wake up and go to your secular job, and praise God for that. Okay? I'm not minimizing that there. I have a secular job as well. I go out, and I don't think I said it about the report, but God has given me the opportunity to have a side business. I run a couple days a week there, my side business, and hey, I try to use that for God's glory. I'm praying for people. I'm telling people. I'm witnessing to people, and sometimes they don't like it, but I'm sorry. That's what we're called to do there, right? And I'm not trying to be a bully, or I'm not being mean spirit or anything that way. I'm just trying to be a vessel to God, and whatever God has given me, whatever it is, okay, whatever He has given us, that you use that for His honor and glory. I have a great friend. He has a barber shop. He has a barber shop, and he goes and he cuts hair, and I tell him, and he's on fire for God, and I say, just use this for God's glory. He has given you this. Use it for His glory. And some of you have a unique opportunity to serve God in some capacity and use it for His honor and glory there. It's a blessing. It really is. And so don't forget that. Don't forget it. Getting back to the text here, blessed comes from an unhindered fellowship with God, the Father, through our Lord Jesus. To be blessed is to experience the full impact of God's presence in our life now and for all eternity. We're blessed, okay? We're blessed. It's important, okay? And Jesus says it 9 times. To be blessed is what everybody seeks for. It's what everybody seeks for, to be happy. People strive to be joyful, to be content, to be happy. They don't strive to be angry all their life. They strive for happiness, for joy, right? For contentment. But they're doing it for the wrong reason. They're doing it in the wrong, they're searching for it in the wrong manner, right? The position, wealth, power, temporary pleasure, material things, genders, trying to switch their gender because they think that that's going to make them happier, but they're confused. It's a mess. They need Jesus Christ, and we got to give it to them. We have to get on our knees and beg God, and I'm not a master at this, and I'm not perfect at this, but beg God, God, get a hold of their heart. Get a hold of their heart and work in their life. Use me or use a preacher or use someone to get them saved and turn from their wicked ways. God can do it. God can do it, okay? And so don't undermine God. You say, that person will never get saved. Yet there's a possibility, okay? There is a possibility. And so Jesus gives us this way to be blessed, to be happy, to be joyful, okay? And as Christians, individually, and as a church as a whole, okay? So to be blessed, to be blessed. He starts off here in verses number 3, blessed are this, and he says it, poor in spirit. You see that, verse number 3? To be poor in spirit. Now, I'm going to be honest, I don't want to be poor at anything. I don't want to be poor at sports. I don't want to be poor at anything, okay? I just don't, all right? I think I'm standing here in one of the wealthy area of Texas. I don't think anybody wants to be poor at anything, really, just being honest. But Jesus says to be poor in spirit. Now, I was pretty poor in school, and my family was pretty poor. And one of the reasons is because they lacked financial budgeting and whatnot. But we were pretty much poor. Okay, and so I don't want to be poor. But he says, look, you're going to be joyful. You're going to be happy. You're going to be content if you're poor in spirit. You're going to be blessed. If you're poor in spirit, well, what does that mean? Well, it means that you recognize your own spiritual poverty, and your need for God. That's basically what it is. That I am nothing, and He is something, and I need Him. Amen. I am in need of God. I am in need of God. That's what being poor in spirit is: to lower yourself and to uplift God and say, God, I don't know what I'm going to do about this situation, this choice. I have to make a decision in my life. There's a circumstances that's coming up in my life, and I need you. I need you. I need to lower myself, push away my pride, and we must admit that we are guilty of sin before a holy God. That's what it is. We must admit our spiritual poverty before we can receive God's riches. Poor in spirit. You see that? And that's what we have to do to be saved. Understand that we're a sinner and we cannot save ourselves, right? And that we come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. He is the one that saves us. He is the one that saves us there. Sense of humility. We've seen that this morning with John the Baptist and Jesus Christ. Humility is a very, very important trait in the Christian life. To be humble. Not to be prideful, to be humble there, a sense of humility. And in order to get to heaven, we must admit our worthlessness and our inability for our own works to save us, but must fully put our faith in Jesus Christ for salvation. Titus 3 tells us like this, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. You see that? But not just in salvation. We need to be poor in spirit. We need to be poor in spirit. Really, every day in our life salvation is the starting point. Okay, salvation is the starting point in our dependence on God, that we depend on Him to save us, and He does by His grace through faith alone. We understand that, but we must depend on Him every day in every perspective of our life. We should fully depend on God. How often do we fail at that? Probably daily. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thy own understanding. In all thy ways, trust in Him, and He shall direct thy path. In Proverbs 3. Man, that's important. But how often do we forget that and we forsake that and we get away from that? Man, we need God. We need Him daily. Poor in spirit. We have to humble ourselves and depend on God. James says He resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Now, that's a hard pill to swallow. He resists the proud. Man, why is God not working in my life? Is it maybe because you're pride, you're proudful? He resists that. You see, he wants no part of that. But He gives grace, unmerited favor, to the humble. You see that? Man, that's pretty cool. Pretty bad if we struggle with pride, which we all do. So blessed are those that are poor in spirit. And then blessed are those that mourn. You see that with me here in verses number 4? Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. To have a broken heart, it's the strongest word possible for mourning. To have a broken heart, it is like the deep mourning and wailing that occurs over the death of a loved one there. And man, it's sometimes difficult. I'll arrive at some scenes and different things, and man, these people are mourning, they're sorrowful, and it's unexpected, right? As far as a chaplain, I'll get there, and there's been some tough ones. There's been some tough ones, and man, it's difficult. It's difficult to see those people mourning and being and crying over the death of a loved one there, and we've all experienced it, I'm sure, in some aspect there. And what he's saying here in verses number 4 is really it's a sorrow for sin. It's what it is. Okay, it's sorrow. It's a desperate helplessness. It's a sorrow for sin. A broken heart over evil and suffering. It is the brokenness of self that comes from seeing Christ on the cross. That we're sorrow. We're mourning over our sin. You see that, man? When's the last time we got down on our knees or just thought about the sin of this world and asking God for His mercy, for His grace to help the city of Tulsa, to help the city of Wiley and Wiley, Texas, and man, Lord, just have mercy on these people, mourning and having a sense of sorrow and how God says He comforts that. And again, when is the last time you were sorrow? You mourned because of maybe your sin or the sins of people, and not gossiping in any manner, but having a just begging God to help us. Again, we need to be poor in spirit. We need God's help. We need God's comfort there. Great example is in Isaiah chapter number 6, where Isaiah seen. Let's just turn there real quickly here in Isaiah chapter number 6. I want to show you this. Isaiah chapter number 6. Isaiah chapter number 6, let's read verse number 2. Above it stood the seraphims, each one of them had 6 wings. With 20 he covered his face, and with 20 he covered his feet, and with 20 he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then look at what Isaiah says. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. There. And so here is Isaiah having a sense of mourning and sorrow, and saying, man, I am undone. I'm messed up. And if we all want to be honest and testify this evening, man, we're messed up. And we need God. We need Him, and we need to be sorrowful for our sin, and not just be sorrowful, but repent from that stuff. Turn away from it. You see that? Everybody follow me so far. I'm not getting too many amens tonight here. Are we good? We all right? We're good? Is that making sense here? Okay, all right. I'm making sure it's not me there. I'm explaining it right, okay? All right. So blessed are those that mourn. God says that he'll comfort us. And again, when's the last time you mourned over your city? I'm guilty of this, okay? When's the last time you did this? In Matthew chapter number 9, we see Jesus doing this. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and they were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. And that's exactly what we're seeing here in the world. Sheep with no shepherd and homes falling apart. Man, it breaks my heart. Breaks my heart. Just homes just falling apart. We live in a state, Oklahoma, has high divorce rates, and man, it's a mess. It's a mess. Kids with different children, all just different homes and broken homes. It's all around the world today, all over. It's not just Oklahoma. It's right here. It's around the corner here, right? Alcohol is just on a rampage, and drugs and. Man, it's a mess. It really is. But we can stand in victory because of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we can give them something that they need to get them off of the dope, off of the sin, and turn their life to Christ. But we got to get on our knees and beg God to help us through this and understand who we are and who He is and be dependent upon Him. Blessed are those that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And then also, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Really, to have self-control. Meek means to be gentle, to be patient, not given to anger or resentment there. Just having self-control. Again, being humble, not easily provoked or irritated, being submissive, being humble, a sense of humility, being calm. And the meek are those who are quietly submissive to God. They're able to answer softly, to control in all things. Have a controlling spirit about them. You know, we should have some, as Christians, we should have some kind of self-control there. We have the Holy Spirit that indwells in us there. We shouldn't be out of control. We shouldn't have some kind of crazy addiction or any. We should have some, even our eating habits, we should have some self-control. We should. Blessed are the meek. And the opposite of meekness is arrogance or pride. Okay? Arrogance or pride. And in too many, there's too many people. There's an air of sufficiency and superiority. The person who is humble is not prideful. It's not prideful there. He is humble before God. He knows his need for God. And for God's hand upon his life, he is humble before men. He does not have it all, nor does he think he has it all. He just trusts and depends on God. He's meek. He has self-control. The person who is controlled, not undisciplined, the mind and the body are disciplined. Never let loose. I want to read Romans chapter number 6, verse number 12 says, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies that you should obey in the lust thereof." And there's too many Christians that follow this carnality of lust there. And man, it's you know, I'm they get wrapped up in it, and man, that, you know, the pornography is growing rampant all throughout the country, and how, man, it's easily accessed, and you have to be careful with it. You have to discipline yourself. You have to have a relationship with God. You have to ask God to give you help and strength in those times of need. And, you know, with young people and just growing up and just having the influence of all that nonsense on with the public school system and with friends and all that stuff there. Have to have discipline. Have to have self-control there. Again, a follower of Jesus Christ must have humility. And we seen it this morning in Philippians chapter number 2. I read to you there. And we see the training of the 12, the early stages of the training there. And as I was thinking about My last day of skiing, so we get over there in Breckenridge, and we're starting to train, and man, we're kind of getting the hang of it, getting some little techniques down, and getting used to the skis and all that other stuff. And so we get on these bunny slopes, and we're falling, and then, you know, next day we kind of get the hang of it, and I'm a master at the bunny slopes now, and my wife's kind of trailing a little bit behind, but I'm trying to stay with her as well. And so I'm a master at the bunny slopes. Well, there's these different levels, right? There's like the Bunny Slopes, then there's like Blues and Greens, and then there's, I think, the Blacks, okay? And there's probably something in between, but that's kind of, you know, how it was. And so I'm like, all right, well, I'm getting the hang of these, you know, these Bunny Slopes there, and I'm taking my turns, and I'm learning how to stop. And man, I'm in good shape, man. I'm ready for the Blues and the Greens now. I'm starting to be a professional at this. I might, you know, get, you know, whatever. So anyway, I get on the Blues and the Greens. And I didn't know it was that much of a difference there. Come to find out, big difference, okay? A big difference. And I took a nasty fall. I took a real nasty fall, and it just kind of, it actually dazed me a little bit. It was that bad there, and a lot higher in elevation there. But I was thinking to myself, as we're following Jesus and we're learning and we're training, and I'm sure there's a mixture tonight. There's young Christians, there's Christians that have been saved for 20, 30, 40, 50 years, and praise God for that. Praise God for that there. But there's always a sense of learning and training and understanding and steps of faith that I was talking about earlier this morning. There's always that step. There's always that way that we can get closer to God there. And so, but there's gonna be hard times. You're gonna fall and mess up. But I just encourage you, get up and run the race that God has called us to run. Right? Run the race that we are called. There's going to be mistakes. There's going to be problems. There's going to be situations that happen. But we have to run the race that is set before us. And a couple of the things that we can see, we can apply to our life tonight is to be poor in spirit. Depend on Him there. To mourn. Mourn for the lost. Mourn for the city. Have a sorrow for your sin and repent from that. And then also be meek. Have self-control, have humility, be meek before an almighty God here. So let's all stand as we close in prayer. Turn it over to the preacher here, every head bowed, eyes closed.